We've got a new author on the podcast. The creator behind the business Love So Modern just published her first book, Retro Curved Pieced Quilts. We are going to talk all about that and dive into her quilting story. Today, I'll have a chat with Erin Grogan. Hello and welcome to the Quilter on Fire podcast, where I explore the stories, the connections, and the joy of guests in the quilting world. I'm your host, Brandy Maslowski, the Quilter on Fire, and I can't wait to share this week's episode with you. So here we go. My guest today is Erin Grogan of Love So Modern. She is a pattern designer, sewing and quilting educator at guilds and quilt shows around the country, and most recently, the author of Retro Curved Pieced Quilts. I first met her in person at QuiltCon and then again at Quilt Market in Houston, and I loved every minute of our conversations. So let's explore the story of Erin Grogan. Erin, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brandy. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm so happy to see you again. It was really nice to meet you in person, and I want to dive into your story. So let's take a little look back at where you got started. When do you first remember putting stitch to fabric?
So when I first started sewing, I was probably in about the fourth grade. And when I was a young child, I had a dream that I was growing up to become a fashion designer. And lucky for me, my grandmother was a professional seamstress. She worked in a clothing garment factory in Boston, Massachusetts. And during the summers, she would come and stay with us for a long stretch of time. And she would help me bring my sketches to life to make my wardrobe for the following school year. So that is the first time I remember sewing.
And so do you remember what the first things were that you tried to put together? Were they clothing for dolls or were they like a real garment?
So it was real clothing for me. The very first outfit I remember us making, I laugh at myself now. But I don't think it'd be on trend now, but it was a pleather pencil skirt with a coordinating pleather vest that zipped up.
Oh, how sweet. Well, you had an imagination way back then.
Yes, yes. And it was like a very green pleather outfit.
Oh, how sweet. So were there certain people in your life? I know you mentioned your grandmother, but were there other people who had a real creative impact early on?
My grandmother was the only one I knew who sewed. My mom liked to do cross stitch. So like I was doing cross stitch with her since a small kid. But art and creativity has always been my thing. For high school, I went to a visual and performing arts high school, and I studied some arts while in college too.
Oh, that sounds like you had a really creative path all throughout school. So I know we're going to be jumping back and forth in your story here, but can you fast forward to your first quilt? What was your first quilt like?
So after having my daughter, I got back into garment sewing, but it's really hard to find garment fabrics. And so anytime I was out and about, I would just type fabric into my GPS and go wherever it took me. And I ended up in a lot of upholstery stores, which was very disappointing. But then one day I landed in a modern quilt shop and I walked in and I was just amazed. I was like, whoa, pause. What is this? Tell me everything I need to know. And the shop had Tulip Pink, an art gallery, and it was just, you know, full of color. So I spent a long time in there talking with the people who worked there. And for Christmas that year, my husband got me a intro to quilting class from the shop. Aww. So that January I dived in. After the first class, we learned how to make a log cabin block. And I went home and I was like, I am in love. I need to do this. So I searched to find a quilt shop that was open on a Sunday the next day. And I bought so much fabric and I went home and started making a quilt top. So my very first quilt was from a kit by a company that I don't think is in business anymore. And I did not know it was hard at the time. The very center of it is foundation paper pieced, like star. And then there's like flying geese that go around that and something else. So it's like, I didn't know.
Oh, wow. That's pretty advanced.
And I'm so happy that I was oblivious.
Yeah.
Because I just dived in. I just did it. So it's helped keep me from being, I don't label anything as hard or easy.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at things. So did you make a transition from another career before quilting?
Yes. So before quilting, I was working in the manufacturing industry. Right before I quit, I was part of the internal communications, employee relations side, where I planned a lot of events and stuff for the company, big and small. And then before that, working for the same company, I was working actually in a clean room, which is a very bizarre thing. So we made semiconductors, which is like the memory that makes your computer and your car and even greeting cards, you know, work. And you can't have a single dust particle in the environment making this. And so I'd had to wear a head-to-toe suit where the only thing peeking out was my eyeballs.
That sounds like winters in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I would have been prepared.
Okay, so then you sort of fell in love with quilting when you had your firstborn and you made the transition from there. So what was the point where you kind of realized, gee, I think I need to make a switch here?
Well, I lived about 10 minutes away from where I worked, and I was finding myself driving home every day during my lunch breaks to sew, grab whatever I could out of the pantry to eat on the drive back to work, and I would just spend my entire time sewing and doodling quilt ideas into corners of notebooks and stuff when I was at work. My job was also really starting to not be a good fit for me. And so in January 2020, my husband and I agreed that I could quit and go full on head first into my dream of being a quilt pattern designer and instructor.
Yeah, that sounds so great. And so what was the dream at that point? You were going to design patterns and you were going to teach online or at shows and things like that?
Yes, that was the dream I had. So before I could quit, I had to save up enough money to, I wanted to take Bonnie Christine's surface pattern design course.
Yeah.
I felt I needed a DSLR and I needed like a really good computer. So once I had the money to afford those three things, that was it. And wishing all the luck on the way.
Yeah. And there's no looking back. So how did your love for quilting blossom from there?
Wow. It's really grown and changed over the years. From at the time I was sewing, really, it was for fun. I did a lot of pattern testing for designers, which really helped me see like the inside of how a pattern came together. And then I started experimenting with my own designs. And at the time I was definitely a modern traditionalist. So my designs were very much so based in tradition and traditional blocks, but with a modern twist to them.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, a year and a half ago, I was feeling a little burned out from design, trying to come up with new ideas. And QuiltCon was on the horizon. And I had a dream. I wanted to get a quilt into QuiltCon. And so I was on a field trip with my son's then third grade class, and it was a very long drive on a bus with a bunch of third graders, and I don't do good with sensory overload. So I was like, I'm just going to isolate myself and just draw some ideas up in my notebook. And I sketched out what a quilt that was just for me. It was not for the intention to be a pattern, and the only goal was to make something that was for me and that I could submit to QuiltCon. And that ended up being my Chaos Coordinator quilt, which did end up becoming a pattern because people asked me to turn it into a pattern later. But it was the first time I designed something without thinking of it being marketable or something friendly, because it's an all curves pattern.
Yeah.
And then it did really well and people really enjoyed it. And I was like, oh. So people will sew curves. People want to do something that's a little challenging. And my way of approach pattern design just changed from then on out. And I just design what makes me happy.
Yeah, that sounds so good. And now, can you say the name of your first quilt pattern or that first quilt design again and describe it to us a little bit?
So the first one that changed everything was Chaos Coordinator. And it's kind of a modern twist on an orange peel. I really deconstructed the orange peel block into different curved bits. And so each block is a little more or a little less deconstruction of that block. And then it comes together to create a quilt with so much movement. And every time you look at it, I find different shapes and images within it. I've had a lot of people come up to me and be like, oh, there's hearts in there. I'm like, yes, there are. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. And if you want to take a look at that pattern while you're listening to the podcast, you can simply go to lovesomodern.com and check out the shop. It's one of the first patterns listed and the colorway is beautiful. I love the colors.
Thank you.
Okay, I know you're talked a little bit about, you know, I wanted to be able to afford certain things, but was there like a defining moment?
I was just like, to say unhappy is not even strong enough a word. I was extremely depressed in my role. And I couldn't imagine going on anymore living like that. And so it was definitely a decision for my sanity.
Yeah.
And I found peace and purpose in my quilting.
Yeah. And it's not something we talk about a lot, but when I started my business over a decade ago, one of the recurring things that my husband kind of hinted at along the way was, you know, it's not a business unless you're making money. And so how did you go from, yes, I need the camera and the good computer and those kind of things to sort of a plan of where you're going to go? Did you come up with sort of a plan with your husband?
Well, so at the time I had a daughter in preschool and then my oldest was in elementary school. So we saved a lot of money by me leaving because we were spending a lot of money on daycare.
Oh, yeah.
So my paycheck was mostly going to daycare. And then we really just made a budget on how I could reduce our spending. A lot of it was focused on me cooking all our meals and how we could be more cost effective in other ways to make it work. So I was able to, just by quitting my job and homeschooling my daughter at the time and pinching pennies where I could, I was able to make up my income.
Yeah.
What I actually brought home after taxes that way. So that's how we were able to make that work.
Okay. So where are you living now and who are your loved ones that you share your world with every day?
Yeah, so I live in Northern Virginia, about 45 minutes south of DC, and I live with my husband and our two kids. They are about to turn 11 and 8. Their birthdays are right like next month, so so soon. And then, of course, my dog. She is a Cabochon, and her name is Tula. She's named after Tula Pink. I had a hard time coming up with a name. So my friend who doesn't sew started just throwing out sewing words that she knows from being with me in my studio. She's like, Bernina. I'm like, that's way too complicated for a dog name.
Yeah.
She's looking around, Tula. Oh, that's cute.
It is a very cute name. Okay, so I want to dive into a conversation about design with you because you're a pattern designer. So there's sort of a nostalgic air to some of your patterns. And when you see something in the world that sparks an idea, how do you capture that? Are you pencil to paper always, or do you go direct digital sometimes?
So I usually start off with pen and paper. I like those little dot notebooks. So I'll start in there. And then when I feel like I got an idea, I go into Adobe Illustrator and I start mocking that up.
And then you do the whole process start to finish to create your patterns. And do you print them yourself at home or do you have them off printed at a print shop?
So I used to print them myself at home and spend many, many hours folding and bagging everything. But this year, I have finally been able to transition to having them professionally printed at a local print shop near me, which has just been a game changer. Makes everything faster and easier.
Yeah. And of course, your patterns are all available in PDF format and in paper copy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then this year I was finally able to get picked up by the all four major distributors. So that was like the real driving force behind needing to actually start printing them through a print shop.
Yeah, that is so great. So people will be able to go and find your patterns in quilt shops everywhere now.
Yes.
Oh, that's such a big step. Wonderful. Now your colorful, bright aesthetic is really, it's just really appealing. So where do you pull your color inspiration from?
I pull a lot of it from sometimes just playing with fabric, but also I love looking up retro rainbows. So those are a great resource online. Always on Pinterest, there's all kinds of color palettes. So I use that a lot. And I have like every fabric company's little swatch booklets. So I really like playing with those.
Yeah. And let's talk about the business name. You have a lovely business name, Love Sew Modern, and so is S-E-W. So how did you come up with a business name?
I love that you asked this. No one's ever asked me this question. And it's kind of a funny answer. So it was during that phase, that period where I was trying to prepare myself to leave the workforce. And at the time, my Instagram name was So-So, like S-E-W, So-So, 1989.
Oh my gosh, is that when you were born? Because that's when I graduated. I graduated in high school in 1989. Okay, so you had sort of a, you know, it's an okay name, but maybe not a business name. And where did you go from there?
Yeah, I felt like So-So, like So-So was probably not a great business name.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there was a very long walk from my parking spot to the office building. And so for days, during that walk, I was like brainstorming different ideas, texting back and forth with friends, different names. And just one of the names I come up with, I was like, Love So Modern. And I was like, on paper, it doesn't mean anything, but it has like this nice flow to it. And it's like, I love to sew modern, or Love So Modern. It's like a modern love story. Like, yeah. Fun play on words.
Yeah. And your logo is wonderful too, because it's kind of a modern logo with a little bit of a softness in the words, but then it has those flying geese in it where you get your traditional inspiration. And then the word modern is big. So it's a great tie-in to everything that we've been talking about.
Thank you.
Okay. So what do you bring to the world with your business in a nutshell?
Yeah. So my main part of my business is definitely my quilt patterns, and they're all with that modern take. The first half of my patterns definitely have a strong traditional backing, and then they're moving to very nostalgic modern patterns. And then, of course, I also teach. So I do a lot of travel teaching with quilt guilds and with quilt shows, mostly on the East Coast. And then I do a lot of teaching virtually with different quilt guilds. I've actually had the pleasure of teaching a quilt guild in Vancouver virtually. So that was fun. Yeah. And that's the main nut and bolts.
Yeah. So let's dive into the patterns. Let's talk first about Radical Cassettes. This one's really cute.
Thank you. It's probably my favorite. It is inspired by cassette tapes. So it's a bunch of cassette tapes with a rainbow going through them in the background. And the fun part about this one, this pattern was actually rejected by my publisher for my book, because the book is supposed to be like 60s and 70s themed.
Yeah.
And they said cassettes were not retro themed, and so they didn't fit. Which I would like to say, cassettes came out in 1963. They very much so are retro, but fine, I'll take it. And I loved it so much. I was like, well, fine. If you don't want it, I do. And it was a lot of fun because I finished working on it right before our last quilt con, and I got to bring it with me and show it off in the Ruby Star booth because it was made with all Ruby Star fabrics. And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. Okay, let's talk about Mary and Joy.
Yes. So Mary and Joy is actually the first pattern I ever designed with curves. And throughout the design process, there were so many times where it almost didn't happen. Like up to release week, it almost didn't happen because I was so convinced people, one, wouldn't sew curves. And two, it's seasonal. Like this can't be a great seller. It's going to have a great little spike maybe once a year. But like I got way too in my head about it. And then at the time when it came out for at least a year, it was one of my best sellers, sells year round, which blows my mind. But yeah, it's a really fun, and honestly, it's the first kind of retro thing I did too, because it is a retro shaped ornament.
Yeah, it's fun. If you're looking on the website, you'll find it. It's in sort of blues, light purples, and it's a retro-shaped ornament. And it's just really got a nice aesthetic. And I absolutely think that people buy their Christmas things in March, April, May, June, July so that they can make them for Christmas. So I could see why it's selling all year round. So let's talk about Bear Crossing.
Yes. So I released this pattern, I believe, at the exact same time that I released Mary and Joy. And that was because I was so afraid Mary and Joy was going to be a flop. And Bear Crossing, it is a modern twist on the bear paw. Yeah. And it's a fun fat quarter pattern. And I have a fun story on how I named the quilt. Yeah. When my parents' house growing up, my dad had put, we had a long driveway. And so my dad had put a Bear Crossing sign in like on the driveway, like halfway up. And the first time my grandmother came to visit us and we were driving her, you know, home from the airport, we go by and she sees the sign and she says, "They let bears cross here?"
Oh, that's so
funny. So it's my nod to my grandmother.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to come up with names. And I love it when creators come up with names that really are meaningful to them. Like when I think about names for things, I don't design a lot of patterns, but when I think about names, I go back to my youth where we did a lot of rock climbing. And the rock climbers who named the climbs, like, they're just so brilliant. So I love finding out what's in a name. So let's talk about your pattern, Circuit.
Circuit. So Circuit was kind of my goodbye letter to working in the semiconductor industry because we used to make parts that would go into circuit boards. Yeah. And so the design itself is kind of a modern log cabin, but it's designed to kind of as a nod towards a circuit board as well.
Yeah. It's really cool. Like, so I just want to talk about the fact that it's a log cabin, but there are kind of like pixels missing when you go around the circuit to make it look more digital kind of. And it's also in a really soft peachy and green palette, which was so popular back then. But then suddenly this year, it's come back. It's like the color of the year or something in 2023.
I know. Isn't that crazy? We're like channeling the 90s again.
Yeah. It's still coming back. Okay. So let's talk about Shroom Garden.
So Shroom Garden is my most recent pattern that just came out in October. And that was made out of a desire to challenge myself. I am not good with scrappy. I like to control things. And I find it very hard to control things with scrappy. And I was feeling the itch and the need for a project that I could really do like fussy cutting and really take my time with and be purposeful. And I was in love. Alexia from Ruby Star Society was coming out with a new fabric collection that had these teeny little motif fabrics. And I was like, I want to play with that. And so that's where Shroom Garden came from. Oftentimes, a lot of my patterns came from, I want to play with this Ruby Star Society fabric collection. How can I enhance it?
Yeah, it's so fun.
Yeah. And so it's a fun, scrappy mushroom and flower garden pattern.
Yeah. And it's so adorable. The colors are wonderful. So you did well with scraps. But can you tell me, so there's a piece block that's kind of a cross block, but can you tell me about the mushroom? Is it curve pieced or is it curve applique?
It is curved piece. So there's templates in the pattern of these cute little mushroom heads.
So cute. Okay. That's a lot of fun. Okay. There's one more I want to talk about before we move on. So tell us about Tossed Citrus.
So Tossed Citrus was my solution back when I was getting ready to come out with Mary and Joy. I was like, okay, if you're going to do something that you think people are going to be afraid to do, teach them how to do it first. Mm-hmm. So I came up with the Tossed Citrus pattern, which uses Drunkard's Paths and orange peels. and it's my free pattern that you get when you sign up for my newsletter. So it comes along with a video tutorial on how to sew the curves. That way I can teach people for free how to conquer this. That way they can be confident in making my other patterns.
Yeah. And so there's one curve to make the lemons, limes, oranges type thing. And then there's another curve to make the smaller leaf.
Yes. The orange peels.
Awesome. Okay. So that is great. So I also want to talk about the fact that you were a pattern designer in August 2022 for Quilters Candy. How did that come about?
Yeah. So I was an early adopter. When Quilters Candy first opened her quilt pattern membership, I had joined and I was a very active member in the group. This is before I had started designing my own stuff. And inside the group chat, because she had a Facebook group, she was asking about English paper piecing and foundation paper piecing and what's like the difference. And I was a huge fan of English paper piecing. And so I had like flooded her inbox with information. And we started a conversation and she had asked me if I wanted to design an English paper piecing pattern for the membership. And so it was a bonus. It wasn't like the main pattern that month, but it came with that. And I had made all these video tutorials to teach people how to sew English paper piecing. And so we had kind of developed a friendship from that. And later on, she asked me if I wanted to design something else. So I submitted like a whole bunch of ideas to her. And we ended up agreeing on what's currently my Piedmont quilt pattern. So that's inspired by the Piedmont region where I live in Virginia. And it's like a beautiful mountain range. I love playing with ombre.
Yeah, so fun. So it's, okay.
It has like the gold peaks, kind of like the sunset at the end of the day. Goes down behind the Shenandoah Mountains. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. Okay. So you write these words on your website. My goal with my patterns is to create the beauty I wish to see in the world and help others find their creative voices too. So tell me why you wrote that.
A big part of it is about embracing when I started designing for me and designing what I want to make versus what I feel like I should be making and how much I really enjoyed that transition. And then the second half comes from, so I do a lot of travel and teaching, and that has been the most rewarding part of my job. I've helped so many students overcome their fear of sewing curves and even other smaller things. I was teaching a course a year ago, and there was a woman in the class who was getting very upset. And she came up to me and she's like, I'm just going to go. I'm so far behind. Like, I'm just going to hold you up. And I was like, absolutely not. Like, I give an instruction and then I walk around the room and help people. You just work at the pace you're at. And then I'll come over and I'll pick you up where you're at and we'll do it. So by the end of the class, she had finished it. She made it and she was successful. And she came up to me and like profusely thanked me. And she's like, my husband just passed last year. I haven't sewn in years. And I'm just starting to try again to do something for myself since he's passed. And I really appreciate you being patient with me. And that was like, that has stuck with me. Every time I enter a classroom now, that's on my mind. And I want to be the backbone and the confidence and like to help others achieve what they're going in for.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is such a heartwarming story. The fact that you embraced her and lifted her up right in the middle of your classroom, regardless of what level she was at or where she was going, you gave her the comfort to stay in the class. Now I want to dive into your website a little bit. So if people go to lovesomodern.com, what kind of things will they find there?
Well, of course, quilt patterns. I also have a goodies section where I have a couple of handmade things. So like I make a hand stamp quilting themed necklaces that you'll find there. And I've made for my Radical Cassettes quilt, I made an enamel pin of the cassette tape, which is really fun. It says Radical Quilter on it. And then also you'll find my book.
Yeah. And so how did you hand stamp those necklaces? They look like they're kind of like embossed metal, but is it like ink stamped on top?
No, you stamp them with a hammer and then you fill it in so you can see the image. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It was, sometimes you just need a craft.
Yeah, those are really cute. And do you have a few different kinds?
Yes. So there's a modern sewing machine, a vintage sewing machine. My personal favorite is the scissors.
Oh my gosh, I see a collection coming on. Those are so cute. Okay, so what else? So we've talked about quilt patterns, talked about goodies. What other kind of things do you have on your website?
I do have a blog on there. You can hear the full stories behind the backgrounds of my different quilt designs and how I came up with their pattern names, and also a few tutorials and some motivational pieces too. One of my favorite pieces I wrote was about, I was constantly being told, like, how many quilts is enough quilts? You have too many quilts. Why do you keep making quilts? And So I went off on a tangent of like explaining how there doesn't need to be a final number. And every quilt doesn't have to have a reason for why you're making it. When I very first started quilting, my husband had said to me, well, you've made like 4 quilts now. That's all the beds we have in the house. How many more do you think you're going to make? And I was like, quilts can go on more than just beds.
Yeah. And I've had designers on this show who have made hundreds and hundreds of quilts, and eventually they start giving some to charity. There's always a place that they'll be able to go. So, okay. So you also have your story on the website, which is a wonderful area of the website. You have wholesale, of course, for your patterns, and you have an area about teaching and lectures, but we're going to get into that in a little bit. Right now, I want to talk about your newsletter. Community is big for you. So what kind of things will we find if we sign up for your newsletter?
Yeah. So every month I like to send out a newsletter, and it's written in the format of a personal letter from me to my quilting friends. And I always talk about what I'm working on in the studio. I like to give my sneak peeks first to things I have coming up to people in my newsletter. I share about different classes I'm teaching, and anytime I have a freebie or a giveaway that I'm participating in with another group, I like to provide it to my newsletter subscribers there too.
Oh, that's so great. Okay, so I want to dive into some of your collaborations because you've had a few magazine appearances, which has been wonderful. So let's start with that.
Yes. So I started designing patterns for Quilters World magazine a little over a year ago, maybe almost 2 years ago now. Yeah. And so I've had a bunch of patterns come out with them. And I've done a lot of work with Modish Quilter magazine. And I've had a lot of patterns and tutorials and articles come out with them there.
Yeah, Modish is so fun. I met them for the first time at QuiltCon a couple years ago. And like, they just do some fun things at QuiltCon. They give away free issues and things like that. So they're a great magazine. Okay, and you've been involved in a few lookbooks for fabric companies like Art Gallery Fabrics and Ruby Star Society. So what does that mean when you're involved in a lookbook? Like, are you designing quilts?
So that is one of the most fun things I get to do. So with Art Gallery Fabrics, they send out, so I got to visit Art Gallery last year.
Oh, fun. Where is that?
So that is in Dana Beach, Florida. And I got to actually go there and see their whole process of how a collection comes to life, from idea to creating it and tweaking it to print it on fabric, and got to see the warehouse. It was so much fun. And while I was there, they asked if anyone is interested in working and collaborating with them on lookbooks, you know, to write your name down. And so then every time a new collection is coming out, the email, the list of people who are interested, opportunities to participate. And so whenever I fall in love with a collection, I mock up one of my patterns in it and I submit it in hopes. And if they like it, they send me the fabric so I get to make it.
Oh, that is great. And so you're able to use a pattern that already exists. It doesn't have to be a brand new design.
Yeah, they are so good at really wanting to support others in the industry and other makers. So it's like free marketing for me. They give me all the fabric. They'll either take the photos or I can take the photos, and they link directly to your website for people to make it. And they're just a really collaborative, caring company. It's a lot of fun to work with them.
Yeah, that's such a cool thing. Okay, now you have collaborated on a few books with Annie's Quilting before your most recent book. So let's talk about those for a sec. Creative Log Cabin Quilts. How did that come about?
Yes. So Annie's is part of Quilters World magazine. So I'm part of a Facebook group for quilt pattern designers. If you are a quilt pattern designer, like I highly recommend finding this Facebook group. It's such a supportive group and really how I've found a lot of different opportunities to grow my business. And so one of the editors of Quilters World was in the group and had a call out saying, if you're interested in collaborating with us, fill out this form. And so every few months they send out call out emails like, this is the theme of what we want to do. Sometimes it's a magazine, sometimes it's a book. And you have to create a whole new pattern that's original and you submit it and you cross your fingers and you cross your toes and got accepted.
Oh, that's fun. Okay. And then what did you do for small blocks, big design with Annie's Quilting?
So it was a fun little purple and orange quilt there was a star block in it as well. It was just it's sometimes fun getting to work on these projects because I can lean more into styles that aren't maybe my current style, but I still want to play with.
Yeah. And then you get to use the beautiful art gallery fabric. So that's great. Okay. So now I want to talk a little bit about your travel, your teaching, your speaking. So what are some of your favorite quilting events that you've attended?
So one of my favorite ones to participate in is the Sewing and Quilting Expo. It travels all along the East Coast and I got to go. One of my favorite was this year. I went to their Lakeland, Florida show, which was like less than 45 minutes away from Disney. So I went and vended and taught at the show. And then I went in the evenings to Disney for fun time.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's fun. And so this next question is kind of funny because we are recording. It is about to be Christmas right now, or just like a few days before Christmas, but it's not airing till February, just before QuiltCon. So this question is about your quilting cruise in January. It hasn't happened yet, but by the time this airs, it will have happened. So tell us how you got into, you know, being invited to be on a quilt cruise.
Yes. So I am leaving in 22 days for my quilting cruise. I cannot wait. I've never been on a cruise before. So I am teaching on the cruise and I'm the only teacher, which is really, it's going to be so fun. We're going to the Caribbean and I designed a fun parakeet and flower tropical themed quilt, which will be available for everyone to purchase by the time this is out. And so my local quilt shop is going and they are vending as the quilt shop on the cruise. And they told the person who runs this, so it's Quilting Adventures by Michelle.
Yeah.
Told her about me and she reached out and asked me if I was interested in doing the cruise.
Okay, so let's get into teaching and speaking. So what are your most popular workshops to teach? What do you love to teach?
So my two most popular would be my Curves 101. So I do use the Mary and Joy pattern to teach that, and we all finish a block. That's a lot of fun. I've had a lot of people take that class who have either never sewn curves before, and I've even had students who have never sewn a quilt block before take that class and be successful. So that's a lot of fun. And then the next lecture that gets booked the most for me is called my Quilty Identity Lecture. And in that class, I talk about really the kind of like the journey a quilter can take in exploring and discovering who they are as a quilter and how you can find your unique style and the different things we can do to develop our own style. Because a lot of times, especially now with social media, we are all being shown the same stuff. Where we used to be able to say where a quilt came from by looking at it. But now we all have the same style. And we have access to all the same fabric. So it's very different. And how do we differentiate ourselves from the masses?
Yeah.
And then I then transition into talking about color and how you can build a color palette that is unique to yourself and the different hurdles that people have to kind of mentally go through to discover that. Because it's surprising when you ask people what their favorite color is, a lot of people can't answer that question.
Yeah. Sounds like a really good lecture.
It is. It's fun. And quilters, both new and seasoned, tend to take something away from it.
Yeah. So is there a quilt or a quilt project that has been most memorable for you?
The most memorable quilt for me is probably the Chaos Coordinator quilt, because that was my breaking free freedom quilt. It's when I took the rules out and I took the boundaries away and just started really making for me.
Yeah. And you designed it in a place where there was so much chaos with all the children around. And were you like on a school bus doing that, or were you hiding in the corner somewhere?
Yeah, we were on a charter bus because it was almost a 2-hour drive.
Wow.
And
it's a lot of kids.
You know, kids were being kids, and it was my way to check out, but still be present.
Yeah, that's so great. Okay. And in your creative practice, what brings you joy?
My favorite thing is when I get the opportunity to sit down and do big stitch quilting. Be if that's like after it's been quilted and I'm going in the back and adding more details, or if I'm in a rush, just adding that extra big stitch quilting to my binding. That's my favorite thing to get to do.
Yeah, it's kind of like calms your mind, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so great. Okay, so right now we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk all about Erin's studio space, the new book. I'm so excited to talk about this and what else is coming soon. We'll be right back. Are you a quilter who wants to step into textile art? Well, you've come to the right place. Join me for the Square One Textile Art Workshop to learn 6 little art techniques and create a little quilt as you go art quilt start to finish. It's an on-demand course to take at your leisure, and you'll have the forever content in your student portal. Even if I add extra bonus content along the way, you get to keep it. So go to quilteronfire.com to sign up for the Square One Textile Art Workshop today. Do you own a quilty biz? The Quilter on Fire podcast has gone from 1,000 to over 5,000 downloads per week over the last year. If you advertise anywhere, why not consider a podcast ad? Quilter on Fire podcast ads bring great value, and they are not just here and gone. The ad stays up for the life of the episode. So drop me a quick message or email me at brandy@quilteronfire.com to get your podcast ad into the ears of thousands of quilters today. And we are back with Erin Grogan. Erin, can you tell us all about your studio space?
Yes. So I love my studio space. During the pandemic, we moved from a townhouse to a single family home. And the previous owner was a huge movie fan. And so he had a full basement theater. And originally the plan was that like the part that was the theater was going to become my studio and the rest was going to be like the kids' play area. But when we bought the house, they left everything for the studio, like the recliners and the couch and the projector, like they left everything. And so our first night in the house, we didn't have any furniture or anything. And we're like, well, before we break this all down tomorrow, let's watch one movie. By the time the movie was over, we all looked at each other and the kids and my husband were like, we're sorry, Mom, but you can't have this.
We're keeping this.
We're keeping this. And I was like, you're right. I agree with you. But like the point of buying this house, part of it was for me to have a space. Yeah. And so later on, we're unpacking and my husband goes, well, it's going to be a year or two before we can afford to put a full dining room set in the dining room. Why don't you just use that? It's just going to be sitting empty anyways. And I was like, you're right. Like, we don't need a formal dining room. We're never going to use that. And so that's how the dining room ended up becoming my studio. And that is why I have a chandelier in the center of my studio, because it's technically a formal dining room. But it's so much better than the basement space would have been. It's smaller than the basement space, but it has so much beautiful natural light that comes in. And I'm really happy that it's my space.
Yeah, it's so nice to have that natural light, right?
Yes. And it's fun because I can be working and cooking dinner and go back and forth. So instead of like standing there waiting for the water to boil, I can get a few blocks like chain pieced in.
Yeah, that's so great. Okay, so speaking of your creative time, what is your favorite time of day?
Ooh, so I used to be a really late night owl. Like once the kids went to bed until like 1, 2, 4 in the morning. I cannot do that anymore. So now that is my job. I only try to sew between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m.
And so you're talking about that hand stitching. So what time of day do you do that kind?
Well, that I love to do in the evenings, curled up on the couch with the quilt on top of me, with a movie going. Even better, I love right now in the evenings, can have the Christmas tree lit up and the fireplace on and just enjoy the silence.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to set that up for myself right now. It's Christmas is coming in a couple of days and I don't have a project up there. I'm going to go grab something and bring it up there. There's got to be hand stitching that I need to do. That sounds wonderful. Okay, so I'm really excited to talk about this question because it's a new question that I've added to the podcast over the last few episodes, starting to be one of my favorites. What's the best thing that you do for your own self-care?
For my own self-care, the best thing I do, so I have fibromyalgia, which is a chronic pain and fatigue condition caused by my nerves. And so for me, it's what I do for myself is learning to listen to my body and knowing when to stop, because I love what I do. So I tend to push through and force myself. So I make time to utilize my heating pad. It's my best friend. And once a month, I go and get a medical massage because with fibromyalgia, my muscles get really tense and tight where I've like ended up in the hospital because I physically can't move. So listening to my body for sure.
Yeah, that is such a great, that's a tip for everyone, really. Like learn to listen to your body and stop when you need to. I think, you know, that's something I fall into a lot is I need to get a project done by a deadline or I finally have time to sew. So I'll just go for 3 hours straight or whatever. But yeah, great tip. That's really good advice. Okay, so let's move on to the big focus. This is big news. Your book just came out December 19th, 2023. So let's talk about retro curved pieced quilts.
Yes, so I am so excited. So after I had designed my chaos coordinator and I started really designing for me, it had opened up this flood of ideas. And I, within a matter of like a week, had designed like 12 new patterns. Oh, no. And I was like, there is no way you cannot just go and release 12 patterns. Like you're going to overwhelm people. You're going to overwhelm yourself. That's ridiculous. And they all kind of had the theme of that retro element. And so I was like, ooh, this would be an amazing book. Like that's a way that I can put out 12 patterns all at once. And so I had created a whole proposal and story behind why I was inspired and why I think people will like it. And I started emailing it off to publishers. And then Fox Chapel loved it as well. And from there, we kicked it up to 15 patterns. So it's a book now of 15 retro-inspired modern quilt patterns. And each pattern incorporates the use of the curve in some way.
Yeah, so fun. So it's like on the cover, it says 15 throwback designs for today's quilter. And the cover is so adorable. How did you choose which quilt was going to go on the cover?
Luckily, I didn't have to make that choice. The publisher did. But that was the first. So on the cover is my rainbow snails. And that was the very first pattern I had made for the book. So for the first phase, you have to make one pattern and like a sample so they can kind of see what your work's going to be like. Yes. And one of my best friends and I went out to a sunflower field and took a whole bunch of pictures of it. And they ended up using that photo. They liked it.
Yeah, it's so sweet. And can you tell me a little bit about the process of working with a publisher? Like, was it really hard? Did it take 2 years? Did it take 3 months? Like, how did it go?
So it goes a lot faster than you would think. So I got the green light during the summer and just quickly had to start going. So it was all done in about a year. It's interesting working with a publisher because, like, you, again, like I said earlier, I struggle with not having control, and you lose so much control that you have to trust and give up to them. They get to do all the layout and stuff, but they were a wonderful team to get to work with. They were sending a lot. I would call them up or we send emails back and forth. And I feel like they took a lot of my feedback and created what I had in my mind.
Yeah. And instead of sort of seeing a publisher or editor as someone you're going to battle with, you can kind of see that as a comfort, right? Because they know what they're doing and they'll give you good feedback as well. So congratulations on such an exciting book. Now let's talk about what's going to happen at QuiltCon, because you're going to have this book at QuiltCon. You're going to be at QuiltCon. Do you think you'll be able to have some book signings there?
Yes. So I have been talking with a couple of different fabric shops that are going to be at QuiltCon, and we are scheduling right now meet and greets and book signings. So I'll have, since QuiltCon will be this week,
yes,
right?
QuiltCon's tomorrow it starts. It's going to be February 20th when this podcast comes out, and QuiltCon starts on the 21st.
Yes. And so they can come over to my Instagram and I'll have all the information there telling them where they can find me.
Yeah. And so, of course, that's at Love So Modern on Instagram. So make sure that you're following along. Go there right now and click on follow so that you get the little notifications when she's going to be where. She'll be putting all of that on her Instagram feed. Okay. Well, that is super fun and exciting news. And I want to dive into what's on your design wall right now.
So on my design wall right now is a personal project that I've been working on for probably 2 years now. It is a English paper piecing project, Grandmother's Flower Garden. And since I'm getting ready to go on the cruise, I need, you know, something easy to bring with me to fill my evenings. And so I'm prepping more pieces to come. So I have it all pinned up on my design wall right now so I can see what's still missing.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a great idea, especially to have something with you when you're on the cruise, when you're just relaxing in the evening. That's a great idea. Okay. And is there something that you're dreaming of in the future? Like, you've done the book thing. So what else is on your dream wish list?
So I have already started working up ideas for book number two, and I'm really excited about it. If you like book one, you'll love book two. And then a dream of mine is to do fabric design. Uh-huh. So I've been working on what that portfolio looks like and been talking with some fabric companies. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, that's so exciting. And I know you can't really tell us. We're kind of just getting a little sneak peek, but it's nice to know your dream ideas. Okay, so now it's time for the lightning round robin. It's a series of rapid fire questions and it's super fun. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. What is your favorite tool or notion?
The block lock half square triangle ruler is probably my favorite.
Okay. And do you have any kind of personal reward system for getting things done?
Whenever I get to finish something work related, I get to reward myself with a fun project.
That's a good idea. Okay. What is a skill you'd still love to learn?
I would like to learn more advanced hand embroidery techniques.
That could be a really great addition to a quilt, right?
Absolutely. I love adding texture.
Yeah. Okay. Has there been a mentor who's really influenced you along your journey?
So Quilters Candy, Elizabeth Chapel, has been a huge influence for me. She was the first person who hired and paid me to do work in the quilting industry, and has been a friend and a supporter and mentor for me ever since.
Okay. Do you have any favorite collections of things in your home?
Yes. So along the lines of my book, it's retro and a lot of it's inspired by retro things, such as my Pyrex collection.
Oh,
I love vintage Pyrex. And I even have a Pyrex bowls pattern inside the book.
Oh, fun. Okay. And what is your proudest accomplishment?
My proudest accomplishment currently right now is the book, because I can't believe that I did it. I can't believe it still doesn't feel real. It's exciting that someone was willing to take a chance on my idea and invest in my idea and bring it to life.
Yeah, let's go there for a moment. I know we're in the middle of the lightning round, Robin, but let's go there. How did it feel to have the actual book in your hands for the first time?
Well, so the very first time I got to hold my book was at market, and I had a schoolhouse session where I got to talk about my book, and I did a trunk show. And then at the very end, the publishers handed me two copies of the book for giveaways. So I had them in my hands for like 2 seconds.
It's like, no, I don't want to give these away.
It was so exciting. And I gave it to them. I'm like, you're so lucky you get to see it before me.
That's great. Oh, that's a really good giveaway.
Yes. Yes. Oh, so that was a lot of fun.
Fun. Okay. Do you have any furry friends in your studio? I know you already mentioned Tula. Tell us about Tula.
Yes. So Tula, she is a Cabochon, which is a half Bichon, half Cavalier King Charles. She's a small thing, like about 11, 12 pounds. And she is just my shadow. She follows me everywhere. She has her corner that she stays in my studio where she can perfectly look out the window and look at me.
She sounds so sweet.
Yeah, she loves quilts. Like, she'll pull a quilt off a chair to put on the floor to go lay on a quilt. She grew up on them.
Yeah, she sounds like the perfect little quilty dog. Okay, so thank you for braving the lightning round, Robin. That was fun. So I've mentioned your website a couple times at lovesomodern.com, and that is where we can find everything you offer. But where's the best place for quilters to connect with you on social media?
So you can find me most often on Instagram. I am very active on there all the time. So if you need something really fast, you can get me there.
Okay. And that's at Love So Modern. And remember, so is S-E-W. Now, as we wrap up, Erin, what do you want people to take away most from our conversation today?
My biggest takeaway would be to don't let yourself not try something because you're scared of it. Things can get labeled as difficult, but until we really try it, we don't really know how it's going to be for ourselves.
I love that. That's a great way to end the show. So, Erin, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thanks, Brandy, for having me. It was a lot of fun to chat.
So that was my show with Erin Grogan. It's so heartwarming to hear the story of a quilter leaving their corporate job to be a professional quilter. It's a hard, brave decision, and she's making it happen. I love to feature great books as well and their authors on the podcast. And Erin's new book, Retro Curved Pieced Quilts, is available now, and you'll be able to meet her in person to get your book signed at QuiltCon this week. In fact, this episode, like we mentioned, airs February 20th. So both of us are probably already on the ground in Raleigh, North Carolina. Please watch both of our Instagram feeds at Love So Modern and at Quilter on Fire to see where you can find us at QuiltCon 2024. Oh, and while you're there on Instagram, like, follow, share, you know, all the things. Love So Modern is a quilter you want to follow, and I loved sharing her story with you today. Quilter on Fire is now on YouTube. I started up all new content last October, and I've been having so much fun. From tutorials to unboxings and amazing interviews with quilters and artists at big shows like IQF Houston and QuiltCon, you'll find all kinds of quilty goodness. If you love this podcast, please go subscribe to Quilter on Fire on YouTube today. Thank you for listening to the Quilter on Fire podcast. Until next time, dream big and have fun in the studio with the Quilter on Fire.